Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome to the show. I'm Andy. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Tuesday, the second day of December, and Dale Desmond is here. You say, who is Dale Desmond? Well, we'll talk about that. Dale, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Andy. Good to see you, man. It's good to be here.
Appreciate you being here. I made the announcement kind of quietly yesterday, but we'll make it a little bit louder today. Dale Desmond will be doing this show, this morning show, starting by himself on Monday. He'll be in all week, right?
Hanging absolutely, out with yeah. Me, so. Well, I mean, assuming they let me stay.
Oh, yeah.
If it's up to me, I'll be here all week. But, yeah, we'll be doing like a little kind of a little transition week this week as I get back in here. I did I was with what used to be Cherry Creek Media. Mm-hmm. I left, and I think it was in 2019, the end of 2019, before COVID hit.
Dale was my boss when I first got hired here.
Yeah. So. Helped, you know, bring about the transition of Mike McGarry to Andy Griffin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I had to run this show a couple times and Mike was sick. He got really sick. And one morning I was over at the gym getting ready to start my class at 5:30 in the morning. And Mike was in the ER. His wife called me frantic. And I had to run down here and figure out this show.
Yeah.
And he was out for a few days. Yeah. Wow. And I remember one of my friends told me then, he said, you're the heir apparent. Ooh. You're the heir apparent on KDXU. And I said, you're silly boy. And little did I know that he was waxing prophetic to come and take over the morning show on KDXU someday.
Well, about 2.5 months ago, I had made the decision to retire, and mm-hmm. I was like, I have some health issues. Mm-hmm. Some other circumstances made it where I really seriously considered it. And I actually went into the boss and told him, and I said, I really think Dale Desmond would do a fantastic job in this position. And he was like, we'll see.
Yeah.
You hadn't actually applied or anything like that.
No. I did get a call right after that from somebody else here at the office and kind of told me what was going on. And I was like, okay.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah. So now a couple of things. First of all, let's learn a little bit about Dale Desmond. Tell us about yourself, where you're from. I know you've kind of been around radio business for a while.
Long time, yeah. I was born in Western New York.
Okay, I did not
know
that.
For those members of the LDS faith, I grew up about 30 miles from Palmyra.
Okay.
And
you didn't happen to find anything buried there, did you?
I searched and searched. Okay. Moved out west when I was 13.
Okay.
I went from the suburbs of Rochester, New York, to a little one stoplight farm town.
Oh, nice.
Literally overnight.
In Washington State?
Uh-huh. In Central Washington State, near the Gorge Amphitheater, for those home of the Quincy Jackrabbits.
Of course it is. It has to be. Yeah.
Of the Quincy Jackrabbits. Yeah. My graduating class had 90, like, six kids.
Wow.
And then just kind of, I started in radio right after high school. Served a mission in Toronto, Canada, which is funny that I grew up in Rochester, had been to Toronto several times.
And you went back.
And then went back, served a mission in Toronto, Canada, and in the mid-90s, from 96 to 98. And I was furious when I got my mission call.
Really?
You're like, furious. No! Furious.
At least it wasn't Boise.
I knew where it was on a map. I knew where Toronto was. I got home, married my girlfriend that she had been at Rick's College the whole time. And we have four kids. And we split up a couple years ago. And still, you know, she just got remarried and moved to Colorado, and we still have, you know, good relationship, as good as it can be. And now I have been doing radio for 30 years, lived all over the country.
Okay, give us some of the whistle stops that you did.
So I went to radio school right after I got home. Went to radio school in Phoenix, Arizona, Moses Lake, Washington, Missoula, Montana. Then to Idaho Falls for 8 years. We were there a long time. My kids all kind of grew up in Idaho Falls on 105.5 The Hawk country station. I've done most of my career in country music, and I know all of the country stars that came to, that rose to prominence from the, let's say the early 2000s to now, I know them. I know all. I have a story about almost every single one of them. I've met every one of them.
Oh, that's cool.
So I know a lot about country music, but I also started in news. My first radio job after I got home was writing news for my little farm town, and I learned how to take a big national story and make it local. How does it write? How does it affect our local community? So, yeah, bounced around Idaho Falls and then went to Charleston, South Carolina for a couple of years.
It was a random thing,
yeah. Right. Well, going back, my first day on the air in Idaho Falls, I was on the air with a guy named Big Mike. Big Mike and Dale, and one of his buddies called up and said, "Hey, Big Mike, and what's your brother's name there? And what's your new brother's name?" And Big Mike said, "Yeah, it's my brother. All right, it's my brother Dale."
The birth,
and that was
Brother Dale.
2006, mm-hmm. And that's where I became Brother Dale, and I've been Brother Dale for 20 years.
So it has nothing to do with religion, Desmond. Anything.
It has nothing to do with anything other than it just happened on the air one day, and it stuck. And for almost 20 years, I've been Brother Dale. But now on KDXU, we're going to let Brother Dale fade into the sunset. I think it'd just be. I was born kind of with a radio name. They always said if you want a good radio name is one syllable, then two syllables.
Yeah, and alliterative. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Dale
right.
Desmond. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so
perfect.
Dale Desmond is, and so that's what I will go by here on the air. Charleston, Montana. Back to Montana for a couple of years, where I started working with Cherry Creek Media. And then back to Idaho Falls, and then I've been here for about 8 years with a couple of different radio groups, and I did, coming back.
You know, I had no idea when I started working for you. You were my boss in 2019. That you were pretty new to the area too.
Yeah,
I figured you've probably been here forever. I had no idea.
You grew up here.
But I've lived here 31 years.
Okay,
That's right.
Locally here, I'm involved in a lot of stuff. I get involved in a lot of stuff, and I can't stop saying yes to stuff. I've been the Rotary, the St. George Rotary Club president. There's several, but the original St. George Rotary Club.
And in fact, invited me to be a member way back when in 2019. Yep. Very cool.
I was president twice. Kind of a weird thing that happened, but I was president twice in 3 years. I serve with the Sunshiners. Mm-hmm. I won't be able to do that anymore, at least not on Monday.
While you're on the air, yeah.
That's going to be a little tough. Also with Kite Festival. I'm deeply involved with the Kite Festival committee.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of stuff here in town. I love St. George. I've had opportunities to go elsewhere. I've got several standing jobs. Like, anytime you want to come back, here, there, wherever. I love St. George. I love the community. I love, obviously, the weather. There's so much to love about it. I just feel like St. George is the best kept secret on the West Coast.
And unfortunately, it's not really much of a secret anymore.
It's getting out for sure. But it's just such it's a great community. I mean, sure, it has its shortcomings and its shortfalls, but what doesn't?
Exactly. Now let's talk. I think one of the things a lot of people that want to know, the guy that's going to take over this show, politically, you're a pretty conservative guy.
I like to think of myself as a fiscal conservative, a social moderate.
Okay.
Meaning, I think that most people in the world, and probably even St. George, they tend to lean more moderate more than they used to. I think back in the day it was easy to just, look at things black and white, yes and no.
Right.
I think the media, the mainstream media, the talking cable TV guys, the talking heads, haircuts, want to make the world and America black and white.
Yeah.
Right. They want to take the extremes and make them the norm. You want, the gun-toting rednecks, that's all Republicans. And the crunchy hippies are all Democrats. And that's it.
Yeah.
You're on one side or the other.
There's no middle ground and there's it's just a big line. Yep.
And I think there's a lot of Americans that think to themselves, I'm in the middle somewhere. I and we all have differing political views on different issues. I think a lot of conservatives go, I'm definitely conservative. I wish Trump would stop saying the things that he says and stop being so erratic or whatever. But I'm not a crazy, you know, gun toting, camel wearing hillbilly like the liberal media wants to portray me. So I would say I'm a right leaning moderate.
Okay.
Depending on what we're talking about. But honestly, really what it comes down to for me is I can like you and disagree with you. I think there's just such a need to be understanding of the other side. There's plenty of people I agree with that I don't like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
So there's three things that I've been thinking about this. There's three things I want to do as my goal on this show. I want to educate. I want to entertain. And I want to learn.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I walk in here day one and go, I know all the answers. I've got all the answers for all the issues, and I'm going to spout them on here from 6 to 10 or whatever. And I don't think any of us have all the answers. I think there are the answers on both sides of the aisle and both sides of all the issues. I've got really good friends at Equality Utah that I'm excited to hear their story and their needs. And I'm excited to hear from the NRA people and, just all the different entities that can have an effect in our lives and go, okay, what can we take to make a mosaic of our lives here in Southern Utah? And how can we make it good? And we can, learn from each other. And while we may disagree on some things, I certainly know for a fact that we can find common ground and find common respect and agree to disagree and still like you. I know so many people I disagree with that I absolutely adore and love.
Yeah. Yeah. I think lately on the show, especially the last few months, we've really, since what happened with Charlie Kirk and that whole sad situation, I think on this show especially, we have really been calling for people to, you don't have to agree, but come on, let's be civil. Let's be kind. It's been really frustrating that there has been, especially like you said in the media, this, you have to go this way or you have to go
right,
that way.
Right.
Because let's face it, America is not black and white. America is kind of gray.
Yeah. And I think, heaven forbid you get some actual, information or data or real life, not just an opinion you hear from somebody who heard from somebody on TikTok, but you're looking at real truth and you go, you know what, maybe I need to look at the environment a little better and how we're treating the environment and what we're doing for our future. Maybe we need to look at our gun laws. Do we need to really look at gun laws? Have we done all we can do? Is there more we can do? I don't have all the answers, but I think there's a lot of voices out there. Again, when we drill down and get the truth and not opinions from TikTok, it drives me crazy. And I'm a social media person. It just kills me when people go, well, I heard on TikTok that.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah. And you're dead on there because that's one of the battles that you're going to find moving forward is a lot of people will read something and take it as fact. And this isn't a rare thing anymore. I was reading a recent poll about young people. Where do you get your news? Well, they get their news from Insta and from TikTok and
Facebook
and all these different.
Yep.
And let's face it, anybody can publish anything on those sites.
True.
Reddit, they're going to go read Reddit. Well, I read on Reddit, it said this, so it must be true. Well, you need to do a little more work than that.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Remember that what you read on social media a lot of times is just, it's regurgitated opinion.
Yeah.
From some stranger.
Yeah.
So before you start adopting that as your mantras and regurgitating that, look at where it's coming from. I try to find things two or three times.
Yeah.
And see what, you know, if I'm looking at CNN and you'll see nothing about a story, and then you'll go to Fox and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So just be aware that what you are hearing, what you are seeing is being controlled by who knows who. So double check on things before you adopt it and change your life, right?
Yeah.
to follow some opinion.
That. The other thing that, and I think people will be happy to learn, Dale is going to continue interviews, having people on. One of the things you heard him say is, I don't know all the answers. Well, one of the things that I said when I started the show, I don't know all the answers, but I want to get people who are experts in areas that do know the answers. That's why we have mayors on. That's why we have congressmen and women on and senators. And, for instance, one of our frequent guests is the Water Conservancy District guy, Zach Renstrom.
Yeah.
Well, he knows way more about water than I ever will.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I love having him on, because I have all these questions. Listeners have questions. We can ask him a question, and it's not coming from, well, I heard this or I read this. It's coming from, well, I know this because this is what I do.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah. Right. And then get the actual data before you form your opinion.
Yeah.
From actual people. Now, again, look at it two or three ways and find two or three different layers of finding what the truth is, because you may, one news source may leave some stuff out or not, and find, you know, there's a couple of news sources I like that are completely non-political, right down the middle, purely reporting, that I really like to look at and keep an eye on.
Now, that being said, one of the topics that came up today, I thought this was funny, and I wanted to ask Dale about this, because I think Dale and I actually have slightly different opinions on this, and that's rotten drivers. There was a study out today. It was on the wire. One of the insurance companies put it together, so, you know, you can go into whatever bias they have, but they ranked the worst drivers in America by state, and Utah came in as the third worst state in America for drivers. Now, Dale was like, yeah, that's about right.
I think, and I figured this out, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I don't know if I was out driving around. Maybe it was the middle of the night. I don't know what it was, but what I came to the conclusion is, I think there's three different factors that make, especially St. George.
Okay.
Utah drivers overall, I think, especially when you drive to Salt Lake, you'll be going, you know, the speed limit. You get into, you know, Spanish Fork and you get into Springville.
Mm-hmm.
It gets down to 70, 75 after you're going 80, 85 the whole way. And you're going 80 in the carpool lane and there's some idiot flashing you going 95.
That's true.
because you're not speeding enough. I think there's a couple of things. In St. George, I look at one, it's the topography.
Okay.
It's the topography of St. George. The way that St. George is laid out with the buttes and the mesas and the hills and the red cliff right here, and you've got Four Master over there, and you've got all these different things that pop up that make the roads not super, you know, easy, especially Riverside. We've got to get that road punched through from Crosby over to the George Washington Boulevard. Then the sooner that happens, the better, because that whole River Road Riverside is a nightmare. That's a nightmare. One is the topography. Two, it's undeniable. The senior demographic.
Yeah.
They've been like, hey, I've got nowhere else to be. I've got all day to go.
I'm about to retire.
So I've got all day to go.
Yeah,
watch what you say.
Yeah.
I got all day to go to Costco. I've got all day to go to the pharmacy. I've got all day. I'm not in a big hurry. And everybody else is in a big hurry.
Yeah.
Then you get Californians moving in that are used to 6,000 different options on freeways.
Yeah.
So you factor that into St. George altogether, kind of creates a little bit of an issue, but I'm just as impatient as the next guy. I think the one key to solving all of that is situational awareness. Mm-hmm. If you can drive, whether you're using your blinker, you're turning you know, into a business and you're taking 6 years to turn into a business and you're holding up traffic, whatever. If you're lane drifting going down Bluff Street right here, like just situational awareness, man. Like that solves so much.
See, there's no doubt that you have lived in more places than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a good perspective on this ranking. For me, I've lived in, I would say, 10 different states. You probably lived in double that.
I've been to 48 states. There's only two I'm missing.
Really?
So I've been to all of them.
Hawaii. Well, Alaska probably one of them.
Alaska's one of them. Other one, weirdly, is Kentucky.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I've been all around.
Huh. I've been north. I've been south. But I've never been through Kentucky. In fact, I had a job offer in Kentucky, and I never took it. But
wow. Well, anyway, but I was going to say, I would submit that Utah drivers are no better or worse than anywhere else.
Okay.
In fact, the worst drivers I've encountered were in California. Which I think the reputation of California having overly aggressive drivers is very warranted. I think they really do.
Sure. I think because you go to you go to Long Beach, if you're going down to a cruise, you're driving down to Long Beach, you've got 7,000 options.
Yeah.
With 7,000 different freeways. Right, to zigzag your way down there.
And some dude in the fifth lane to the left wants your exit, and so he's going to come across.
Of course. And that just happens. But so what were the top ones? So it was Utah was third worst.
North Dakota was number one.
Yeah, and then New Jersey. I think New Jersey was second.
Jersey, yeah.
And then North Dakota.
Yeah.
Well, North Dakota's probably a lot of wildlife, I would imagine. It's like wildlife incidents. Yeah, you had a lot of deer there.
They were ranking it per 1,000 drivers, the number of incidents. I'm like, does North Dakota have 1,000 drivers? I don't know. I guess they do.
I have to guess it's weather related.
Yeah.
Right?
Wasn't there a movie? Is Fargo?
Fargo. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yep.
With the wood chipper. And I mean.
Don't ruin it.
No, okay.
Spoiler
alert.
There's a statute of limitations. I think statute of limitations is 6 months for a movie.
Okay.
You've got six months to see a movie. Spoiler alert. Statute of limitations is out. It is over.
Well, Fargo's like 3 decades old.
They got the new one, but.
Oh, there's another one.
Well, it's a. Is it a movie or a series? I don't remember, Steve Buscemi is one of my very favorites.
He's a funny guy. I love that dude. Yeah. He plays the ultimate good bad guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's always in Adam Sandler movies, too, which I love.
That's right.
I love that.
You can do it. All right.
Well, that's Rob Schneider.
Yeah, I know. 9:31 on KDXU. Got to get a weather break in. We're getting to know Dale Desmond today, who will be taking over this show. Before too long, we'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:36 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Dale Desmond, who will be the owner of this program here before long.
Brandon about getting a... Getting a loan on this, or do I have to finance it?
I'm just going to sign it over.
Rent to own?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sign over. Did get a text, by the way. I've been listening to Andy the last 7 years, and I've been listening in Kentucky for the last 3 years via the internet. He's been listening, a beautiful place, and that happens to be a place you and I have never been, Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah. It's one of two states I've never been to.
Incredible.
And
now, is this a thing that you're going to, these are, but you have to get to Kentucky and Alaska, or do you not really care in business?
I think it'd be fun. I'm sure I'll mark it, but I wouldn't say it's a bucket list.
No.
You
got a little more time to fill your bucket list than I do.
Well, I mean, I
How
think
old are you, Dale?
I am 48. 48. Okay. Born
you're
in.
Not a pup. You've been around.
That's the cool thing I think about this. I'm at that age in my career where I feel like we can really bridge the gap between. You know, your baby boomers, you know, era.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, my dad were baby boomers. My grandparents were World War II era. And then the younger crowd, Charlie Kirk, you know, younger conservative and others. Like, I want to be able to have people listen here and go, oh, okay, I see your idea. I see it. I don't agree with it. Or I'm learning something new about it. Or actually, you know what? Now that you mention it, I like that. I like that view. I think this really could be a great in, you know, bridging that gap between both sides of it. So
how about this? This is from Jan. She says, hey, Andy, lucky to catch the show this morning. Dale has all the experience he needs for sure. Hope he tailors the show just as if he were subbing for you. I like that.
Oh.
At least until the listeners get used to him.
Which I hope happens fast.
She said she's not ready to trust you, but she's willing.
Okay.
She's entering with an open mind.
Hey, Jan, that's all I can ask for. Stop by the station, Jan. My girlfriend has dropped, or she sent Crumble over. A big box, too. This is the six-pack.
Not that big, but pretty
this
big.
We got the big box here, Jan, so stop by, and I'd love to meet you sometime, Jan.
Yeah. Fantastic listeners on this show. I have, honestly, a really good friendship with quite a few of them, that regular texters, and I know that's going to be the hardest part about retiring. Not the paycheck, not the management, not the, you know, being a radio guy, but actually these people that I've made friends with that I'm just not going to talk to on a daily basis anymore. So that's sad.
I'm sure you'll be around. I know you're going to continue to do basketball, baseball,
doing sports,
football.
Basketball, football, baseball for a while. We'll see how
long.
The thing about it, one of the things that I really wanted was more time to go places and do stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually approached management when I was talking about retirement. I'm like, hey, if you guys will double my vacation time, I might stay. And they're like, no.
Wow.
I was like, really? And they said, no, we have corporate policy.
Yeah, it's the corporate thing. Yeah, I get it.
So that was one of the reasons that kind of made it so that I did want to retire. But like I said, I do love the listeners.
What do you think next Monday looks like for you? Next Monday, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'm taking over the show full time. Solo. This week's going to be a transition. Andy's teaching me all the ropes, the technical stuff. I'm not worried about, you know, all of the, you know, talk show part or any of the new stuff. That's fine. I'm learning all the technical stuff. Make sure all the, you know, stuff gets pushed all at the right time. What is next Monday?
Well, two things I know for
look
sure.
Like to you.
Number one, the alarm will go off. It will not go off, but I will still wake up.
Yes.
Because that's what's happened.
Yep.
But I will then be able to either turn the alarm off or just roll over and go back to sleep.
Okay.
And then I will get up when the sun is up.
Well, do you think you'll tune into the station and see how I'm doing? Or are you going to be like, forget you, pal. You're on your own. If it's bad, I don't want to know.
I think... So we have a weekend trip planned.
Okay.
To go see grandkids. And my granddaughter is having a dance recital on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we may not actually be back Monday until later in the day. So Mondays, maybe Tuesday morning would be better to ask about. And I will probably listen.
Okay.
And probably not to the whole morning show, but to the 9 o'clock hour.
I hope. I say this whenever I go to Home Depot. When I'm working on a project, and whenever I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and I'm, or, you know, or Ace or whatever, and I leave, I say to the clerks, I say, I hope not to see any of you again today. for that, I'll say the same thing to you, Andy. I hope not to talk to you Monday morning at 5:30 going, wait, what's the thing I'm supposed to do to make that thing happen?
Yeah.
Where do I get this thing? Where do I have, what's that supposed to be? So hopefully this week we take care of all that.
Yeah.
So that I, no offense, I don't want to talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, no, and I don't want to hear from you on Monday either. So, I will say this. It gives me great comfort to know we're hiring a guy who's been in radio who, when those kind of things come up, I mean, you know, Dale, especially when you were ops manager here before, sometimes you just got to go. Sometimes you just got to make it work.
Figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. Exactly.
I call it Tom Cruise. If you watch Mission Impossible, he always says that. We're just going to figure it out.
Yeah,
that was kind of the theme of the last.
I thought we were
going
MacGyver for a minute. You remember MacGyver? He always figured it out.
No, that's Jeff. Jeff is our MacGyver. Okay. Jeff is our engineer. He's the MacGyver. I'm the Ethan Hunt. We're just going to jump out of the plane and figure it out.
Okay.
That's what we do. We'll just figure it out. No, I like to have a good plan. I like to think ahead about what we want to do, and you do a great job at that, of planning ahead. And then just let your God-given talents take you the rest of the way.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed, right?
Exactly.
And if they don't, you play a commercial.
We'll figure it out.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. We are going to talk about here in about 5 minutes, a word that describes you. Dale and I were talking about this earlier this morning. A word that you would describe yourself.
Yeah, an adjective, right.
And then what word would other people describe you as? And they're probably not necessarily the same word.
Yeah,
right?
Is right. Do how you want to be perceived and how are you perceived the same the same would be described in the same word.
It's kind of like driving. You think you're a great driver, mm-hmm. and you did this and this great, and then you know everybody else says, "Well, man, that guy's an idiot."
Yeah.
You know, and,
yep.
and you're like, "But I thought I was good." And so we'll talk about that a little bit here in a couple of minutes. Got a couple of more texts coming in. Let's see. I'm excited for Andy. By the way, I'm reading these raw.
Great. So I'm hovering over the bleep button. Yeah, Go ahead.
We're excited for Andy to be retired, except we will be sad to lose him. Thank you. But I'm excited to listen to you, Dale. I've been listening to 890 KDXU clear back when Mike McGarry and Pete Gardner was on. And
all right. Not,
you remember Pete, right?
I don't remember Pete. No, I was here after him.
Pete was a good old boy from Texas who was a newsman for Mike.
Nice.
Yeah. Not sure how long ago that was, but I started listening to KDXU in the 90s. Welcome. Very cool.
I love that.
Very cool. Well, another one that going. Maybe Jan's going to want to take you up on the cookies. She said, I live in Hurricane, but grew up in upstate New York.
What?
2 years ago. Good luck. I'll be keeping my eye on you.
Go Bills, Jan. Go Bills.
You think she's a Bills fan?
She has to be.
Right?
It depends
how
what you
the Bills
So
been?
upstate is in 69, I think it is.
Okay. All right.
The late 60s. 65. It was 65 because this is 50. Is this 60 years? This is 60 years.
Okay.
For the best. So, upstate New York is anything not New York City.
Okay. Yeah. The city's over, and then you're right.
And then everything's upstate. Everything that's not New York City, Long Island, Manhattan, everything is upstate. I mean, that's Albany to the Adirondacks to Buffalo to Binghamton. If anybody knows. But if you're from there, you say you're from Western New York. Okay. If you're from Rochester, Buffalo area. So I don't know where Jan's from.
Upstate
could be Lake Placid.
Yeah.
Upstate could be Lake Placid. It could be. Well,
that's right on the Canadian border, isn't it?
It is Placid, up north, yeah, where the Olympics were back in the Miracle on Ice in Lake Placid, New York.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about nicknames or names, adjectives we describe ourselves and other people describe. I had a couple I hated, a couple I liked, and Dale kind of the same way. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 948 on KDXU. Dale Desmond is with me. And Dale had a quick update. Dale, there was a power outage this morning.
Yeah, it looks like Rocky Mountain Power, according to the map on the website, Rocky Mountain Power customers, most of them have been restored to power. Veo, Gunlock, Dameron, Enterprise. My daughter lives in Gunlock. And there's, you know, one of the six houses there.
I was going to say, wait, someone lived in Gunlock? Really?
It's not in a camper at the reservoir. There's a cool little community out there. Really pretty, especially this time of year. It's very pretty right there at the river bottoms. Super duper pretty, so.
By the way, Jan texted and said she knows now that you're not sketchy because she grew up in the same area you grew up
okay.
in.
Okay, we're practically
Rochester,
family.
Rochester, Henrietta.
Yeah,
area.
We're
okay.
practically family.
Nice.
Jan, you and me, sis, we're going to go. It's not a wait. It's a woman named Jan.
Yeah,
like
it's a woman,
like
yeah.
Jan, is it?
Yeah, no, Jan.
Jan.
It's Jan.
Jan, we're gonna go a long way together.
On the wire today, we're gonna get to the nickname thing in a second, but I wanted to get Dale's reaction on this one. At least this is crazy. All right, this was on the wire today. At least 17 people have now been arrested after a cockfighting operation was busted in Provo, Utah. On Sunday, police say they were doing a welfare check when they became suspicious using a drone. They were able to gather evidence of the illegal animal fighting operation. Investigators say between 50 and 100 people were in a shed. That's a big shed. Watching the cockfighting after the bust, police found 54 dead roosters on the property and over 100 alive roosters. I guess the winners. I don't know. They also found drugs that they were allegedly injected into the rooster to make them more aggressive. In Provo.
It's steroids.
In Provo.
Okay.
What?
It happened on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything's closed in Provo on Sunday.
I think that's against the honor code.
So I think I'm pretty sure it's very much against the honor code, although it's not specifically mentioned. I think they need to have some more things for the students to do on a Sunday. I mean,
that's not keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Seriously. I think there just needs to be, you guys got to stay busy on Sundays. My dad used to say, idleness is the devil's workshop. I think every dad has said that since the dawn of time.
That's true.
I think that's what's happening.
When they change home teaching to ministering, I think that messed everything up. All right, I'm going into cockfighting.
Well, but now, I mean, you've got plenty of meat now for refreshments after the linger longer.
If Brother Jones is at the cockfight, right, and you sit by him, does that count?
I think that's ministering in its finest, right there.
All right.
So,
Dan, when I was a kid, I was much taller. I'm still mostly taller than everybody else. And I was given some unkind nicknames. One kid called me Jolly Green Giant. Another kid called me, and this one stuck, unfortunately, Lurch.
Oh.
I hated that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hated that. Later on, I got the nickname the Golden Griff playing basketball.
The Golden Griff.
I liked that. I couldn't remember Daryl Griffith of Utah Jazz.
I loved that nickname.
In fact, I still use it sometimes in, you know, you have to have a username. I use Gold Griffin occasionally, but you don't really get to choose your nicknames. And we're talking a little bit about adjectives and nicknames.
Yeah.
Are there some names people have chosen for you, or maybe names you did or didn't like over the years?
A friend of mine had a friend, and she would always refer to her as my tall friend, Amy.
Okay, so she didn't, her name wasn't Amy. I mean, her name was Amy. To her friend, it wasn't Amy.
My friend Liza always talked about my tall friend, Amy. She would never say Amy this or Amy and I did that. It was my tall friend, Amy and I did this, and my tall friend, Amy did that.
Were there other Amys, and she was differentiating?
For sure, but she always referred to her as my tall friend, Amy, and it makes me wonder, you know, like, what adjective do you think people refer to you as? If you're going to be introduced by one of your friends, you're at a party, hey, this is my blank friend, Andy.
Yeah.
Would it be my radio friend? Would it be
maybe
my tall friend, Andy?
I get a lot of big guy.
The
big guy, Andy, yeah.
Or
stuff like that. Or if I hear them referring to me, but like I'm not in on the conversation. Hey, the big guy over there.
Yeah,
I get that a lot.
Yeah, okay.
So how about you?
I think, in my mind, I hope they say my funny friend Dale.
My funny friend Dale.
I think they probably say under hushed tones my annoying friend Dale. I realize that funny people, there's a reason that comedians' sets only go an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a reason. Right.
Over, yeah.
Well, there's a reason that a comedian's set doesn't go like a movie, like 3 hours.
Right.
Because it's just, okay, all right, enough. It gets annoying after a while. So you got to know when enough is enough.
Yeah.
So I would say, I hope they say my funny friend Dale.
This is my funny friend Dale. Okay, yeah. I got it.
I'm curious what people think. What do you guys think?
Okay, well, let me start with you.
Yes.
When I got hired here, you were my boss, and you took care of a lot of little things. I haven't really shared this a lot, but you took care of a lot of the little things, like affidavits and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And covering, because I was new, I had never, ever used this program we used on the air.
And now you do it like a charm without even thinking about it.
It's old hat now, but back then, I knew nothing about it, and you were really good at covering my inadequacies in this program. My wife thought you were the greatest thing since sliced bread. She's like, Dale is so awesome. She's like, after you left and I went through a couple of other bosses, my wife's like, oh, I wish we could get Dale back. Dale made it so your job was great, and these other guys don't, and I'm not going to say their names, but so my wife actually is a big fan of Dale Desmond.
Well, I hope she listens. If you're not going to listen, I hope she listens.
she barely listens to me, Dale, so if she listens to you more than she listens to me, I'm not happy.
Hopefully she still feels that way after.
Yeah.
You know, after you're retired, and she goes, I am her friend that has given her husband back.
Well, I was going to say, so you made my life easier when you were my boss, and now you're coming in and making it so that I can actually retire, because as people that listen to the show know, I've been trying to retire for 6 weeks, and it just hasn't quite worked. And so, yeah, I think she's going to be a big fan of yours, even more so now.
I'm telling you, I'm making fans. Me, Jan, what's your wife's name?
Shelly.
Shelly. Jan, Shelly, we're We're already adding to the tribe here.
Yeah, and by the way, Dale's pretty good looking, ladies. In case you're wondering, good looking. I got into radio because you don't have to see my.
We've all got a face for radio.
Dale has a TV type face. He could do it. He could pull it off.
It's the staticky channel that's on at the middle of the night. That's the face for TV where I'd be at.
Interesting. You were talking earlier, Dale, about your first job you're going to radio school.
Yeah.
I did too. Mine was in 1988.
Okay.
Right, or 87, yep. Rather, right after my mission. I went to what is now defunct, the American Technical College for Radio.
Oh.
In Salt Lake. And it was a 9-month program, and it took a whole bunch of my money, and it took me a while to pay it back. But it ended up getting me a job at Z104 up in Logan.
Okay.
And in classic rock at Z104. It's funny, our tagline was from the 60s to the 90s, a history of hits on Z104. And I actually, one of my fond recollections was I got to the song Thunderstruck, AC/DC.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing my shift. The music director came running in, and he had a black CD case with a lightning bolt cut out of it, so you could see the CD through the lightning bolt. And he says, "You got to play this. This is a new AC/DC song." And I was like, "Oh, whatever, dude." And so, live on the air, I played AC/DC
on CD. Wow.
For the very first time, and played Thunderstruck, and within like 3 seconds, the phone lines lit up. People wanted to hear it again, even though they hadn't even heard it the first time.
Keep playing it.
Yeah, they just wanted me to keep playing it. And
AC/DC was well established at that point, so it wasn't like you were breaking a new band.
It was almost kind of like a comeback for them, because they had been a little bit quiet for like a decade. So another text, Roy says, when I started listening to your... He started listening about when I started my job, apparently.
Okay.
So in 2019.
Really?
So,
all right, really?
Yeah, and we survived through, boy, the whole COVID thing was bizarre, wasn't it?
It was. I left months before COVID started. And I actually got out of radio. I was working for a property management company and doing radio kind of part-time for a few years here in town. And so I kind of missed the COVID... from the radio perspective, but Roy, glad to have you, man, and we would love to hear from you, hear your thoughts as we go forward.
It was interesting that COVID time, because my wife worked in the courts and I worked in radio. We were considered quote unquote essential workers.
Yes.
Everybody else had time off, usually without pay. We didn't get any time off. We both had to go to work every week.
With pay. Okay, good.
We did get paid, but it was weird because everybody's like, "Oh, I'm stuck at home," and we're like, "I wonder what that would be like."
Yeah. You're right. The pandemic and the lockdown was a little different for sure.
It was for sure. So, well, Dale, welcome aboard.
Yes.
Thank you so much for again agreeing to this.
Absolutely.
I know. I mean, you had another gig. You were doing very well in your other gig, and I'm sure they're going to miss you big time. But their misfortune is our fortune,
for sure. You'll be here all week. Andy will be here all week. We'll come up with some fun to do on Friday.
As we get
ready to give you the last hurrah and the kick in the pants on the way out the door, and
hopefully there'll be no crying. I know I remember the day McGarry
was
his wife and kids came on and there was crying and
what a baby that. No, come on. I love Mike. I was here for that, and it was great. We set that all up. We had Mayor Pike here and the whole thing.
So I'll be here through the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Dr. Blodgett on Thursday, Mayor Randall in her last show as mayor of St. George with Jimmy Hughes taking over in January. And then Friday, it'll be my last show.
That's it.
It'll be fun.
Be a lot of fun. We're going to have some fun this week and do the transition and get it handed off and do it right.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And again, I feel really good and really confident about who they have hired to do the show. I think they'll do a great job.
I got the stamp already. This is great.
Yeah, stamp of approval. Like I said, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever it was, I told the boss, you ought to call Dale. He didn't do it. He should have done it. Dale, thanks for coming on.
Okay, buddy, we'll see you tomorrow.
And we'll be back tomorrow. Dr. Blodgett on the program tomorrow, talking health. Goodbye, everybody.